The state recently announced more than $5 million in state funding will go to 41 grants across 30 municipalities. And it's all for types of after-school programming. Some of the entities are actually right here in our listening area, Bridgeport, Norwalk, Stamford, Milford, just to name a few. And the money will apparently help expand high-quality after-school programs, providing things like academic supports, enrichment opportunities beyond just the everyday school day. So for more on this, we wanted to talk to John Frazzinelli, who is the Department of Education Division Director for School Health, Nutrition, and Family Services. John, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Always glad to have you here, John. First of all, talk to us a little bit about these after-school program grants. How long has the Department of Education here in Connecticut been getting funding for this?
So these are state-funded grant programs that we've had in place. They're two-year grants, so every award is for two years, the state fiscal year. And we've had them probably since the late 90s.
Wow. Okay. And why the investment in after-school programs?
Well, we love these programs because they help meet the needs of students. You know, they provide opportunities for academic enrichment and tutoring opportunities after school and mentoring, really to support the work that's happening in the school. It's a continuation of the academic activities that students are doing in classrooms, and we connect them to the after-school program. So it's just a little more assistance for those students who might need a little more help.
What do you mean when you say enrichment opportunities? I know what that means, the word, but like, what? Give me some concrete examples of what students are getting when it comes to enrichment opportunities through these programs.
Sure, it's a great question. So we're talking about things like investments in science and technology and engineering. So some of those things may be service learning opportunities. So in the older grades, you know, in high school, we introduce students to the trades to see if they're maybe interested in becoming a plumber or an electrician, or invest some of their time in learning about manufacturing. Those are some of the enrichment things. We also have opportunities for health and wellness activities to talk about lifelong fitness and lifelong health and wellness. In addition to the traditional things like homework help and tutoring activities.
So again, we've got John Frazzinelli here, who is the Department of Education Division Director for School Health, Nutrition, and Family Services. As I mentioned, 41 grants across 30 municipalities. And obviously, there are so many entities, I'm sure, who could use the money and are creating amazing programs for people and need the support. How do you choose who gets the grants?
So programs apply, like school districts apply, and they usually apply with a community partner to assist. So they're scored based on their ability to identify and meet the needs of the students in their schools and communities. So we look at how well they're able to identify, like, these are the needs in my school, and this is how we're going to meet the need. And the other big factor is looking at what we refer to as dosage, which is how many days a week are you providing the after-school program, and how many hours per day are you providing it?
I did notice in the rundown of all the different programs, John, a lot of them are cities that got the money. Is that by coincidence? Is that because they had more applications that were sent in? Are they familiar entities? And again, not trying to cause trouble, but it seemed to me that a lot of them were cities that got the money.
Yeah, we actually, when we look at the applications that come in, we actually limit the number of grants that each applicant can provide. In other words, like, yeah, as you mentioned, we see Stamford is on the list, Waterbury, Bridgeport, and New Britain, and some other large cities. In many cases, those cities have provided 6, 7, 8 applications to provide those after-school activities. But we actually limit the cities, we limit everybody to 3 grants so that we can spread the funding and spread the opportunities around. And you'll see on the list, there are some really tiny towns, like in the northeast corner, Eastford, Willington, you know, some we have a Middlesex YMCA. So we do that purposefully so that more students across the state can have access to after-school activities.
I see. Now, it's interesting here, again, John, I'm just trying to understand it, but when I'm looking at the list, let's go to Norwalk, for example, the Carver. The Carver has two listings here where they're getting $153,000-plus. But it looks like there are actually four schools under those two separate grants for the same entity that are going to be benefiting from this. So I'm trying to just understand, like, does the Carver create two different after-school programs that work for those two schools and the other two schools? Or how did that work? Like, why did the Carver get two $153,000 grants?
Well, you'll also see on the list that some programs got $50,000 or $55,000 because they're working in one school, right? So the Carver was provided with additional funds because they were going to set up programs exactly as you described, right? They're going to set up programs in each of those four schools, so they have after-school programs operating in each one.
I gotcha. Okay, okay. I mean, is that something that, like, I'm looking at Waterbury is another one where Waterbury Public Schools just in general got three separate grants, obviously for different schools. But again, they, for the most part, they were all elementary schools. So that I was just trying to kind of understand, like, how does Waterbury Public Schools get three of these grants under the same entity? But it's, I mean, why not just say they're going to get, you know, X amount versus $97,000, $153,000, and $89,000? It's because there's three separate programs that the Waterbury Public Schools put forward.
That's exactly right.
Got
it. So they put for several grants, you know, one to work directly with Wilson Elementary School and then one to work directly with Hopeville School and Kingsbury School. So it depends how they apply. Like, they can apply to work in one school or they can apply to work in multiple schools. And that's how it works out. And you can see the requests reflect the number of schools that they're working with.
We are chatting with John Frazzinelli, who is the Department of Education Division Director for School Health, Nutrition, and Family Services. And the state this week announced more than $5 million in state funding will go to supporting 41 grants across 30 municipalities. And I noticed on the list that Bridgeport, Norwalk, Stamford, Milford, some of those municipalities getting that money. And it's going to help expand high-quality after-school programming. John, I have to imagine that more and more of these applications are coming in the last few years. You know, and I don't, not even just because of the pandemic and we know isolation and learning loss and things like that, but because it has become so incredibly unaffordable for the average family in Connecticut that they are relying more on after school programming just so that they either, if they've got, you know, two jobs that they've got to cover or they have lack of money for child care. I would think that you've seen an influx. I don't know. I don't want to talk out of turn, but have you seen a greater demand for after-school program funding?
We definitely have seen that. And it's been consistent, certainly since the pandemic. The number of applications that we receive has absolutely increased. And actually, the number of quality applications that we see have been coming in as well. In this particular case, we had enough funding to support 41 programs, but we had actually 101 applicants for this fund.
Wow. How often can people, do you guys look at this? I know you said this is over a 2-year period because it's nearly $10.6 million in total. But again, it's being funded. Part of it is the $5.3 for the 2025-26 year, the other $5.3 for the 26-27 school years. So how often can people or entities, I should say, apply for this?
So this happens every 2 years. It follows the state budget. So we'll have another opportunity in 2 years to apply for these funds. But we also have a significant amount of funding in our what we call our 21st Century Community Learning Centers, which is actually our federal after-school program. So we actually will be coming out with a request for proposals for after-school programs for those funds, hopefully in the spring of 2027. And those are also 2- and 3-year grant programs. So if anyone has any questions, they can reach out to the department and we can help them navigate some of that.
Do you ever have repeats? You know, people who or entities that have gone for the grants and you see, you know, wow, that money really helped a significant amount of students or something to that effect. And they go for the grant again. Is that allowed or no?
Yes, we do. We do fund, you know, folks that have been in the program for a long time. We look at what they're providing for services in the after school program, and we actually look at those students' performance to see how they're doing. And we're coming off a year where in many of our schools we saw really record gains in academics. And we look at their after school programs and making sure that they're connected to their after school programs, because the after school programs are a really important complement to supporting those academic gains that we saw this school year. And yes, we'd love to see repeat applicants for certain cohorts of students in certain schools, because that lends itself to some continuity in the provision of after school. So year to year to year, families can count on that school being able to provide those after school activities for their children. So every, you know what I mean? So every 2 years, they don't have to go searching for a different after school opportunity. I mean, that's the other important part of these programs. In addition to all of the great things that they offer, it really offers a safe place for students to be after school. So if their parents are, you know, working later, they know that their parents are in a safe place.
You know, John, I know this is something that can I share that you kind of head up a lot of this work? Is that fair to say, just in the role that you play?
Yeah, sure.
I'm curious if you find after school programming, is that linked, you know, when you have really robust, really solid after school programming, do you think there's a link to, we've also seen finally the numbers start to tick down. Chronic absenteeism is starting to come back down again in Connecticut, which is a good thing. Do you think there's any link between after-school programming and chronic absenteeism?
There's absolutely a link, because if you've got a strong after-school program where students are excited about going, where students are getting their enrichment, where they're getting some tutoring help if they need it, they're much more likely to attend school so that they can attend the after-school program. That's an absolute link. The other thing that these programs, many of them offer, are after-school snacks, and some of them actually provide meals for students. So it really is providing a lot of supports for students, both academic, wellness, nutritional, all of those things are we house together in some of those, in many of those after school programs.
I was curious, again, we have John Frasinelli here, who happens to be the Department of Education Division Director for School Health, Nutrition, Family Services. I think these all link together. Just while we really quickly are on the topic of chronic absenteeism, there was a new report that had come out this month, and it looked at our numbers coming down, which, again, is a good thing. I know we're not exactly where we want to be, but, John, where are you sort of in, you know, I guess, your perspective with chronic absenteeism? I know Connecticut has some of the stronger policies compared to other states across the country when it comes to cracking down on this.
Yeah, we have the department really has an all hands on deck when it comes to consistent attendance by students. We know that any amount of time lost in school is lost learning time. And obviously we want to limit that as much as possible. But we have a number of initiatives. We connect monthly with our attendance leads in all districts. We have a webinar call with them every month so that we can share best practices and talk about what things are working in certain districts to improve so that information can be shared statewide. We have our LEAP program, which is our Learner Engagement and Attendance program, which is a home visiting program. But it's not, you know, the old school truancy officer showing up at your doorstep. This is really folks from the community and folks who work in the school who are creating, making relationships with families to say, hey, we want you in school. What's going on? Do you need assistance with identifying childcare? If you have an older student who's chronically absent, is that student absent because they're watching their younger siblings? Maybe we can help connect you to some childcare assistance and things like that. So we really districts and the department really work with families to say, what's going on and how can we help you have your child come to school more consistently?
And I would love to have you back on soon, John, just to talk about, you know, things you had mentioned, chronic absenteeism, certainly nutrition. I know you had mentioned snacks and after school programming. And I know we really have a lot of food insecurity in our state. So, you know, would love to have you back on really soon to talk about some of those topics. If you have any free time, would love to have you back on to do kind of a follow up to this conversation.
Absolutely. We'd be happy to come back.
That would be great. John Frasinelli, thank you for the work that you do and for giving us the time here on WICC. We appreciate it.